Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and I am so excited. I didn't even realize it, but I bought this book back in August, and I was we'll get into that because we're going to start talking about sensitivity is the new strong. And I'll go ahead and get my co-host, my lovely co-host, ladies. Miss Amy, how are you tonight?
My knee hurts. I have a headache, and I'm emotionally rot, but it's not mine. One of you have given this to me. I'm just telling you right now.
Okay.
Take it back.
All right, there you go.
Take it back. or maybe not.
Alana. Alana, go ahead. It's yours. It's all yours, girlfriend.
Hello. I'm doing very well. excited to be here tonight. Talk about empaths. So let's talk about how we can be strong in our sensitivity.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I'm going to put this on both you guys. What is an empath? Without reading the book, the intro, but what do you guys think an empath is?
Well, let me give you an example. You know, I was thinking about this, today and getting ready. And over 20 years ago, I was in a classroom, big classroom, 20 people, and something was going on, and I had this feeling of intense upset in my body, but I knew it wasn't me. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever experienced. And then a while later, I met up with a new friend in then class, and I...
Oh, hello.
I was feeling her feelings. And it was just really fascinating to me. And she and I have been, over 20 years, really good friends. And I think part of it, we're able to finish each other's sentences and really know we're very, empathic with each other, but not in a negative way. So I think a lot of times when people talk about empaths, they talk about it in a negative way.
So that's what empath means to me. Okay. So in saying that, we'll continue with that conversation. But do you think it's negative?
Are you asking me a question?
Yeah. Do you think having empathic senses is a negative?
I think if you don't know what's going on, I think if you don't protect yourself, yes. I think it can be negative.
Okay. Miss that. Atlanta.
When we're going to be playing with this for a little bit.
The question is, what is an empath, right? So, to me, an empath is somebody who has all the feels, right? They just have all the feels. They're intuitive. They're in tune with what's going on around them. I think that probably people who are, known as mystics before maybe were really empaths, or maybe they're both, just people who kind of know what's going on and are really in tune with other people and have to work really hard. I think people who are empaths have to work really hard to clarify what's theirs and what's other people, And so, the traditional method for doing that, as far as I know, has been to have amazing boundaries with people. And I don't know, I've been told I'm kind of an empath, but I definitely, having an empathic child has changed my definition of that completely. I would not identify as an empath at this time. I think I am empathetic. I think that I have a good handle on the human experience, but I definitely would not think that I'm an empath, I have a best friend who is definitely an empath. I have a child. My daughter is definitely an empath. But myself, I don't think I feel all the feels like they do. So I can just see that it is a struggle. You know, it's a struggle. It's not just a blessing; it's a struggle.
Yeah,
I think
it's
going to
be a really incredible exercise here.
Yeah, for me, you know, before I saw how this whole started for me was watching Lee Harris with an interview with the author, which is Anita Morjai. And what was interesting for me is I've always thought empaths are basically people who are just very compassionate and, they're sensitive, but it's a matter of they're very tuned in and helpful, you know. So for her to talk about, just like if you've seen any of her things, she's got a very extensive offering on YouTube of different stuff, and she talks about this quite a bit. But what I think is really interesting is on it, you know, she just said, you know, she, for people who don't know what happened to her, she had a near-death experience. She ended up having cancer, and her body started shutting down, and she basically went to the other side, and her dad was there, and he had died, I think, just a few years before that. And he just said, it's not your time. You know, you need to go back, and there's things that you know, gifts for you and things that you can do for helping people. And she's just like, what? Like, I don't want to go back. It's pretty nice over here.
I don't want to go back to that body, right, that's all messed up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the thing that was amazing, too, is, like, within 5 weeks, she basically, all of the cancer was cleared out of her body.
Yeah.
And the doctors, and that's an interesting story on its own about how the doctors want to deny it, and it's turned into this controversial thing about how doctors handle, immediate remission.
A miracle.
Yeah, when they handle miracles, they wind up getting really questioned from all the other medical fields, especially with people within their own specialties about that, and they try to turn them into quacks, you know. So it's really interesting about, you know, somebody, she had one doctor who was willing to just say, this is what I have observed and this is what happened. All the rest of them are just, you know, wanting to, you know, basically, you know, go around it and not really claim what they saw, which I think is really interesting, too, because I think that's part of the story as well.
And at a certain point, she said, stop testing me, because they kept testing and testing and testing because they didn't believe it. And she just got to a point where, leave me alone. This is the reality. I need to go forward.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, is like, I would think at a certain point when they keep testing you, like, you almost question your good health.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Right.
I believe that.
Because you can get caught up in them looking for something wrong. And if you're a pleaser and if you're empathic, I mean, one of the things Anita talks about is the fact that, you know, you feel like a doormat because you're always willing, you're always saying yes, even though there's parts of you that want to say no. And for an empath, which I didn't know until we started really looking at this book, is it's interesting that with an empath, it's like you don't feel comfortable unless everybody else around you is good and comfortable. So you go really
again,
out of your way to try to
get
everybody healthy and happy so you can be healthy and happy. Because if they're not, you don't, you totally feel off.
Well, like,
you don't have
a
sense of just
Alana had
said
that you don't know if it's yours or theirs. So you don't know, right? If you're supporting them or yourself or whatever. So I think that it's really amazing when you kind of start like, oh, this is mine, this is theirs. I want to kind of frame a couple things for our listeners. First off, the book is really amazing. The notes have really great books and articles, so that really frame this. She's done a really beautiful job of that, and that there's a process with every chapter, and so we'll talk about that at the end. And I'm really excited to do it with you guys. And something that, and I'm looking at my notes, I started reading this on September 11th, and it was like... Yeah, and what I remember now kind of looking back is like that collective sadness that I had some feelings going on and that I didn't really realize until I looked at my notes. Oh, it was September 11th. And that makes, you know, that makes more sense why it affected me so much starting this book.
Yeah, but yet how perfect too, because it just shows, because like in chapter one, she offers a really great quiz to see, how much are you an empath? I think that's it. So that'll be
great.
Something I'm interested to see how we walk through that one as well. So Alana,
I think it'd be good if you want
you.
To, well,
go ahead.
If you want to Google dying to be me, and there are a lot of videos of her telling that story. So that might mm-hmm. be a good thing for, you know, for you to do if you're preparing for this, is watch one mm-hmm. of those. They're all really good. She's very authentic, and that might be good to look at.
So, Alana?
Yes.
Alana? When, how did you come to just discover your daughter was an empath?
I think that truthfully, you know, our friend Kelly Kapsar was working with me right at the beginning of the pandemic and right before, mm-hmm. right before the beginning of the pandemic, truthfully. And because I noticed that she was really having some struggles, like she was seemed to be really sad when other people were sad, really worried about the world. There was a lot of worry going on. And, that was worrisome to me, you know, but my child was so worried about the world already, you know, at six, you know, and I think that for me, just the way that she just knows when you need a hug. She just knows, like, she knows when you're sad, you know, like, if you're sad, she's there with you, she's comforting you, you know, she's some people might just think, she's just a mothering soul, but it's definitely different because she really feels things. And giving her something I've done different from the 23 years I've been parenting, you know, is give my children the words to really express themselves better about their feelings now than I did at the beginning of parenting. Like I know enough now to give them those words. And the words that she was using were very clear about how she was feeling. You know, she would say, you know, when somebody's angry, it makes me, you know, I feel scared, you know, or I feel worried, you know, and just it was interesting to just see her. The way she was expressing herself was very obvious that this was a different experience for her. You know, this is not just your same old, I'm scared when somebody yells. You know what I mean? It was, just the way that she expressed herself was very telling for me. And just watching her, you know, seeing how she is with her family, with her siblings, she's very in tune with, you know, how they're doing. You know, and so I think that, I mean, that's the way that I knew, basically, that just watching her and listening to her.
Yeah.
Have you guys
talked
about that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, tons. Yeah, I mean, yes, for sure.
Oh, cool.
Like,
that's really cool. I wish somebody talked to me.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Right?
You know, just because someone else is angry doesn't mean, you know, somebody else is sad. We don't have to be sad. We can be sad for them if they're sad, but, you know, we don't have to take it on as our own feelings, you know, those kinds of things.
Wow.
You know? Like, this is not happening to you. This is not happening to you. This is happening to them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That, you know, even though it might feel like it's happening to you, it's not. So it's important to separate that. And so, I mean, it was, you know, the best as she can. She's only eight, you know, but, you know.
Right, right, right. Well, I think it's so great you're having those conversations, and I think you're going to have a lot of great tools to share. I know you already do, but, you know, it's going to be fun, right, to watch her, mm-hmm. you know, be able to do this. Because I know Robin and I really didn't start having this conversation until we were adults, but we knew something was different about us, but
mm-hmm.
we didn't
mm-hmm.
know what to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I love it because, like, a part of Anita talks about that, about how, you know, when you're empathic or sensitive, the world's not geared for that.
Right.
It's not geared for that at all. And, you know, we're talking less than 20% of the population. So when you already mm-hmm. really recognize that there's something different and you basically have to just kind of, you know, fake it to try to fit in, you know, depending on what's going on with everything. But yet, I think it's exciting that we're getting to a point where we can talk about it. And yes, the world is shifting and changing, but, you know, there will be times when you have to go out and be dealing with life in a different way, but yet have it where you can still go into those environments, but do it in a way that works for you. Instead
right.
of feeling like you have to comply with everything, it's finding those things that make it work for you. It's reminding me of, it's interesting because since I've had, Alana and I both have a friend, Sarah, that has started to come and help out at the flower shop, and she's very sensitive. And it's been interesting since I've had the book and kind of observing her and how she does things. She loves the job that she has because she basically comes around and just kind of in multiple tasks, like whatever kind of needs to get done that day, she does. And she loves to go out and do delivery. So she's by herself, one-on-one with people. And since she's been helping me, I had her come and help out with a wedding, and that was just the last thing she wanted to do. She didn't want to have to interact with a whole bunch of people. Yeah. And so we wound up have her in the back in the, you know, in the area where they're cleaning dishes and stuff like that, and she's helping to get centerpieces switched out where she didn't have to interact with anybody.
Oh, that's great. That's a good idea.
So we
see what it's so good,
reason,
like
you
that
know,
you can respond
that
to that
have,
as an employer.
Right. People have certain things that work for them or don't work for them. And like I said, I can be in that environment, but I make it work for me as much
that's
as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's exactly
and I think
it.
That can
it's
be true for everybody. You know,
that.
And it's like even with my older daughter, she's been very sensitive. And now she's really kind of stretched her wings and realized her different levels of some capabilities and stuff. So it's just, I think it's just like anything. It's a muscle, and you have to be able to have tools, work with things, and then get to know who you are and what's sensitive for you and your gifts and talents. And I love how Anita talks about the fact that, you know, ultimately when she went to heaven and came back, the whole thing was about love yourself and you're empowered. You know, don't make everybody, you know, yes, you can be there to support other people, but don't put yourself in, you know, in the back. You know, don't be behind the curtain. Be out there on stage as well. And it's okay. Because you're showing the world who you are, and that's exactly where you need to be.
Well, may I read a sentence from page 2 that I think kind of brings everything together?
Sure.
It says the second paragraph. I believe that every decision we make, every choice, either takes us a step forward towards expressing and accepting our authentic self, or takes us a step back, losing ourselves, towards being small, and ultimately towards dis-ease.
Well, and it goes on to say, I grew up in a culture where I was rewarded for being non-confrontational, invisible, and a people pleaser.
And
in some aspects, I really kind of think that's more something that you know, women and females are encouraged to be. So, you know, not necessarily wanting to be gender specific on that, but it just seems that it's that whole thing of, like she goes on to say, I made myself small to the point of invisibility and always felt the need to apologize even at my own existence. I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's one thing I think that's changing. I mean, I definitely see that with people raising their kids now about not having them be wallflowers. And being able to be in a place
and supporting
where they can
each other,
themselves.
Right?
Yeah,
we're coming together in, you know, in amazing ways now that we didn't before. You know, you and I have talked about many times. Everybody should be in a 12-step group. It doesn't have to be a 12-step group, but some group like that, where you're unconditionally supported and you're heard. I mean, yes, please.
Yeah. And I think people need to be in a place where they have some place where they can basically just. Have a place where they can express themselves and not worry about judgment or whatever. They're just speaking from their heart, speaking from experiences that they have, and having the room being a place of a sense of seeking to say, wow, thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't necessarily understand it, but the fact you're willing to share that is awesome.
Well, and there's another aspect that I've been part of a conversation recently is many people talking about that they had gifts of all different kinds and shut them down. And I think COVID has caused a lot of, you know, shaking and baking, that those things have been coming back up. And now it's like, uh-oh, now what?
Yeah. And I think that's talk about the blessings and the difficulties. That's something else that COVID's really brought to the light.
You know, I really appreciate that you're talking about that this society that we've been in, that it is changing, it is getting better. But what was the funniest thing today, I found it funny, it's not really that funny, but I found it, let's say, interesting and amusing. You know, they're just the way that people are interacting with each other these days is so confrontational and combative. Everything's an issue, you know, everything is, you know, and I'm not saying that there shouldn't be accountability and there shouldn't be, you know, I 100% believe there should be accountability for wrongs and things like that, and that people should be sensitive to all kinds of feelings. But one of the things that I've noticed is, have you heard of this, you know, people calling women Karens now if they, you know, if they're too difficult,
right.
They're a Karen. And
right.
So, Susan, which I think
yeah,
is very,
Susan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Susan, yeah. Uh-huh. So there was, I have this friend on Facebook, and she says, imagine being such an empath that you're worried about the Karens, about the good Karens being called Karens whenever you're worried about the stigma that the,
I love that.
You're worried about all the good Karens of the world, you know? And
oh
so,
my God.
And you know what? It's some people on, you know, some people really got upset, and they were like, oh, this is such a first world problem. This is such a privileged perspective. And she was like, no, this is about, you know, it's so interesting to see that people couldn't see that she wasn't trying to, you know, make it be like, I'm worried about the people who are actually behaving badly. You know, she's like, I'm worried about people
right.
who are behaving badly, who are getting, you know, stereotyped like this. And they were like, well, what about the Shaniquas and the we're just like, yeah, she's like, yes, thank you. Now I have more to worry about. You know, basically, you know, like,
oh, that's
yeah.
so funny.
You know,
yeah.
I am an empath, and therefore now I am worried about more people. It is not about like, you know, I can worry about all those things. I have the capacity to worry, you know, about all that. So, and feel bad
that's
for
so
all
funny.
Of them. And so, yeah. But what's funny for me is, like, I completely identified with that. I was like, oh, I have so many good friends named Karen. I couldn't imagine, you know, wanting.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
I would be
so
sad if my name was being used as an insult, you know. And
mm-hmm.
so.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really, really hitting it on the head, too, that's what an empath would do. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that they are doing.
Yeah.
When it comes to stuff like that of, like, oh, gosh, how unfair that is, you know. To have that
right.
going
I
on.
Think that without the impacts of the world, how would we, I mean, maybe we wouldn't even be aware of some of the atrocities, you know what I mean, or some of the you know, we got to have those people. We got to have the feelers in society,
well,
you know. That,
yeah, and they're out there all over the place, right?
Yeah.
You know, it was like I
mm-hmm.
used to work, you know, for the ballistic missile office, and I knew my job was to keep everybody calm from pushing stupid buttons, right, and doing really
mm-hmm.
dumb things. You know, I have to say one of my favorite
we
moments.
We appreciate
I was,
you in that capacity, Amy.
Thank you.
There was
thank
a
you
level
very much.
There
and I stood as long as I could,
button.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until I
get hands off the buttons. There you go.
Yeah. So I was doing some leadership training, you know, with all this the high-level executives, blah, 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 in a very classified Navy facility. And I was like 3 days. And afterwards, there was this person who kept really asking interesting questions. And at the very end, you know, he kind of wanted, can we talk, you know, privately? You know, I'm like, sure. Kind of, he was, you know, like the vice commander or whatever. And he said, this is the first time I've seen a light worker in drag.
A light worker in drag? What does that mean?
That means somebody who's an empath keeping things from going over the edge, disguised as
oh,
a leadership
right.
trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you
I mean,
know,
he was asking really interesting questions.
Yeah, and while we're talking about this, it makes me think about how things are just being pushed more and more and more to be desensitizing. And here we have empaths
yeah.
that are basically calling it like they see it, and they're just like, no,
yeah.
no.
Well, why
uh-uh.
the emperor's naked, right? You know, and that's
right.
why after
exactly.
20 years I had to leave because it was too much for me. And then I felt like I accomplished my mission. So, Robin, at the bottom of page 3, I think there's a beautiful synopsis of what we're looking forward to with the book. And it says, this book, do you want to read that?
Yeah, this book is about expansion, liberation, and connection with your own divinity. It's about speaking out, honoring yourself, and loving yourself. It's about embracing all that you are, chipping away at what you're not, about undoing, not doing. Once you learn how to honor and develop your own gifts, I encourage you to get out there, shine your empathetic light, take on leadership roles, and become role models.
All right,
you know,
go get an amen.
I mean, Amen. And I think I also want to make sure that we talk about the dedication, because this dedication is so wonderful. It says,
okay,
to the gentler souls who walk among us, the sensitive, the empathic ones who give of themselves tirelessly without a thought of their own needs, the self-sacrificing among us who do not know how to receive. These gentle souls include those who say yes, even when they feel like saying no, who are in service to everyone except themselves, who feel guilty when they take care of themselves, who have been victimized and bullied, who have no idea of their own self-worth. You have silenced your voice and made yourself small so others can feel big, and have dimmed your light so long that you don't know how to shine anymore. You've read all the spiritual books, all the self-help books. You've prayed, meditated, chanted, given everyone who's wronged you and forgiven them again, only to find that while you've been so engaged, the world outside has been hijacked by the louder and more aggressive voices among you. This book is for you. Your voice is vital. Your light is essential. It's time to step into your truth and take back your soul, your life, and the world. And
yes,
I think
that's
the reason I say this is just such a timely book, and I love that we're doing it during the holidays, because hopefully we can get a lot of people looking at this and just, you know, because for me, a lot of things that helped me is just saying, you know, this is just information. I don't have to do anything with it. That's been a very
About this book,
helpful thing.
Go ahead. I was going to say that what I love, what I'm most interested in this book is that, in the beginning I said, you know, most people have dealt with being an empath by having amazing boundaries. And she said that she is not going to teach you boundaries. You know, that is not her way of dealing with this. And I found that very interesting. And I cannot wait to see actually how she, you know, what is her method for being an empath? You know, like what does that look like for her, you know? And so I'm interested in getting those good tools that she has.
Yeah.
I'm so excited because I highly value her and I really trust her.
And just in looking at the different things that we're going to be going for the chapters is in your relationship with yourself is how to live more optimally as an empath, turning up the dial on your ego. Being spiritual means being yourself when the body rebels, and then opening to abundance without guilt, saying yes to saying no, and breaking through gender norms and living fearlessly. I mean, all of those are fabulous.
Well, we even talk about finances, which, yay. So I want to really highlight here on page 4, it talks about the process with each chapter. And looking at the other chapters, she doesn't really say it in the other chapters. So you might want to, you know, make sure you know where this is. It's at the bottom of page 4, that she's included a mantra encapsulating and integrating the focus of each chapter and a short meditation to help you with the lessons. And so what she recommends is you get a journal, you spend 20 minutes of quiet time, and take a deep breath before repeating the words slowly and silently in your mind or out loud for 8 repetitions, and with 4 breaths in between. Once you've done that, close your eyes for about 5 to 7 minutes, allowing the words to sink in. And so, and then have that journal in the ready for, you know, whatever comes forward. So I think that's going to be a really fun process.
And, you know, we're going to do our best to make that a part of the process with each of the shows as well. So if you wanted to go back to that segment of the show at the end of each of the shows with this book, we're going to kind of make that kind of a process where we'll read that and then encourage you to be able to just kind of
perfect
to listen to that. Yeah, but I also think it's really important, too, that if you feel led to, you know, read it yourself, you know, with like a recorder or whatever on your phone, and then listen to yourself, listen to yourself saying the mantra, because I think there's so much power in hearing yourself say things like that, that it really kind of puts you in just a different place with that as well. So a couple of different ways that you can work with the information and, you know, again, you know, you can go to her website, which is AnitaMorja.com. She's also got a couple other ones that are with it. And I didn't even realize it, but she's got quite a few other books. I thought it was she just had the couple books that was Dying to Be Me and then this one, you know, Sensitive is a New Strong. But she's got a few other ones there, and there's also a couple of meditations that she has in CDs and stuff to be offering with that as well. So some things to check out with this lady. She's got some wonderful products to go on.
Really beautiful work.
Excited
yep.
to get this
Here we
going
go, girl.
And bring it into the holidays.
Hands in
yes,
the air.
Yes.
Hands in
Hands
the
in
air.
The
here we
because
go.
Because we do care. There we go. Ooh, ooh. Okay, girls, I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be a great ride. And chapter one is great.
Absolutely.
If you have a chance, go over to our Facebook with the Transformation Cafe community. And if you want to make a little comment about the quiz or anything you've read so far, we would love to have you being a part of the conversation. So we look forward to that. All right, girls.
Great job, my
have
friend.
A great week.
I'm empathizing. I'm feeling
will,
it. I'm
we're
feeling
in
it.
We're in it for sure. We're good.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.